Welcome to the Pirates Overboard Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Ostwick, riding solo again today as Jonathan is down in Florida as they get set to take on North Florida later this week from March 8th through the 10th. They just got finished up playing FIU, which they took 2 out of 3 games where they won 12-3 on Friday, March 1st, and 13-10 on Saturday, March 2nd. So Jonathan and those baseball guys are really absolutely killing it so far this season. They're 7-3 on the year, and they have scored a lot of runs this year so far. So they have gotten off to an outstanding start so far. So it's going to be exciting to see them come back to South Orange when they start playing some home games here. The weather's starting to become beautiful again. Spring is right around the corner, as they say. I'm back from Indianapolis, where the swim and dive team had a very good performance overall. In my last meet, got to see some amazing things. My roommate Sean Vizard winning the mile. Allie Wagner winning the 500 freestyle and the mile as well. And a lot of great performances overall throughout the weekend. So today we're going to do something a little bit interesting. We're no interview today, sadly, because of all the travel that me and Jonathan both have had the past couple days. We're going to talk about men's and women's basketball here today as a kind of a recap episode as they get set for the Big East tournament and hopefully some March Madness action. So we're going to start with the women's team, who had senior night last night here at Walsh Gymnasium. A lot of seniors recognized here. 9 seniors graduating from Coach Bazella's program yesterday as they lose to Creighton in a really competitive, tight battle, 72-65. And you look at the box score here, very even game throughout. Seton Hall shooting 36% from the field, while Creighton shooting 42%. From downtown, Creighton shooting 32% from the field, Seton Hall 17%. What really stood out to me going into halftime, this team was down, and the Pirates were able to make a run going into halftime. And it was a defensive stand, which was it was amazing to see. Going into halftime. Now, they didn't have enough gas towards the end of that game, and they sadly lose on senior day, but there's a lot of promise for this Seton Hall women's basketball team as they get set for the Big East tournament starting on March 8th as they face the number 10 seed DePaul. So that should be a great little matchup there for them. And then they get set to take on, possibly, if they win that game, they play Creighton, it looks like here. They have listed here on their website. But they made it through the regular season. They ended with a 16-13 record overall, 8-10 in conference, 11-5 at home. So the Walsh Gymnasium was a great place for them, 4-7 on the road. Some of their best wins this year, their Rutgers win back on November 15th, an 82-63 victory. A very closely contested USC, who's number 8 at the time, who's now still a top 10 program, losing 64-54. Beating some great teams like a UNLV, who was ranked 23rd at the time, beating them by 30. The crazy game when they started off conference play, when they went down 20 in the first quarter against Georgetown, but came roaring back with a ginormous victory for them. So there's a lot of promise here. And you look through their box scores on these, a lot of close, tightly contested games that they either won or lost. Like, same with both Creighton games this year, losing by single digits. So it's going to be interesting to see what they can do at the Big East tournament, where they've had some success in years past. I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be watching all that as much as I can here going down the stretch of March. And hopefully with some wins, they could maybe eke their way into the NCAA tournament. Now, according to the NCAA net ranking for women's college basketball. Now, I know all these different ranking systems are a little finicky, but you got to have some sort of measurement here. Right now, according to the NCAA net rankings, Seton Hall is ranked 65th out of all these teams in the United States. So you have to think if they have a little bit of a run, they might have a chance to make it into the big dance in March, which would be the first time in a very long time for this women's program to make it into the big dance. So a lot of exciting things, as I said. I keep on repeating it, but March is a bunch of madness, as they put it, and there are a lot of great performances left in this season, and I can't wait to see. So one of the performers, I want to shout out some standout performers that throughout the year have had a great season for this team and Coach Bazella. throughout the year, really. And they've been able to do a lot. First things first, Azana Baines, who had a phenomenal season so far, averaging 15 points a game. And she has been that offensive weapon that the Pirates have really needed and have relied on all year long. Along with Micah Gray. Micah Gray has also had a phenomenal season, averaging 11 points per game, getting on the boards with 2.5 rebounds. I forgot to mention with Azana Baines with the 6.1 rebounds, a lot of those which are important to this team. And then you look at Amari Wright, who in the box score for scoring, averaging only 5 points a game, which that's not her go-to thing. Her go-to thing is creating options for her teammates with 5.6 assists per game, which leads this team this season. And fantastic year here with the Seton Hall Pirates. And now, one more person I really want to shout out who has also had a great year, and she's only a freshman, Savannah Catalan, who has had a fantastic year. I cannot say that enough. She has been one of those offensive powers who has received some Big East Freshmen of the Week this year, has just had an amazing freshman campaign so far. And they're going to need to really have her have a great Big East tournament performance to really have a chance to move through the tournament. It's a competitive field like it is every year. You have the UConn's of the world. Marquette's a really good team. You have Villanova, who's been very good this year. The Creighton team that you just came off of. So there's a lot of really good competitive teams in the Big East this year, as there always is. So quickly, I'm going to break down some of these standings here for the women's 2024 Big East women's basketball as we have it now, as we are set with the tournament bracket. So the first round on March 8th, you have the 8-9 seed Butler and Providence, the 7-10, which we are the 7th seed locked in of DePaul and Creighton. DePaul and Seton Hall, excuse me, and then the 6-11 seed between Georgetown and Xavier, with the 1 seed being the UConn Huskies, the 2 seed being Creighton, in which you have to admit, you have to say, must give you a little bit of confidence playing them really tightly, and your 2 times playing them out at Creighton and here at home for Seton Hall, because it looks like that would be the matchup they would have going in. The 4-5 seed is Marquette and Villanova and Marquette. And then the 3 seed is St. John's, which is another team that the Seton Hall Pirates played very, very closely throughout the regular season. When you look back at their regular season with them, the St. John's won back on February 13th, 68-57, and that was for at home for St. John's. While when the Pirates hosted them here, it was a very close contest, and I'm pretty sure they won. Yes, they won in overtime 74-66. So they are very, very evenly matched here in this tournament. So you look at this and you get past DePaul and you have Creighton, which you can compete with. And you saw that last night, and you saw that back when they played them in Creighton. So you really have a shot of getting 2 wins in this tournament that would propel you into the big dance, and I think it could if they're very good performances. So hopefully we see some postseason basketball in the future for this women's college basketball team, and you can start following them and watching them on March 8th. Their game is at 1:30 Eastern time here, and you can obviously listen to them on WSLU 89.5 FM. I'm not sure who's calling it, but someone will be out there for all the games that they play out at Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncaseville, Connecticut. So that's the women's side of things. That's what's going on with them. Now let's transition a little bit into the men's side of the Seton Hall basketball. They had a rough loss last night. They played Connecticut on the road, which, first things first, that UConn team looks phenomenal. They are clicking on all cylinders. And Bill Rafferty was on the call yesterday on Fox, and he was talking about all the little things UConn does on the offensive side that it was shown yesterday, the final score of yesterday's game being 91-61. And you look at the first half of that game, and they were throwing some punches, Seton Hall was, and they were doing their best to really stop that high-octane offense. But once they got going and later of that first half, there was no stopping them. And you can see that throughout the game. But that's the caveat. You're playing the number three team in the country. It's their senior night. It's a hostile environment, and it's something that, look, you did the best you could, and you got to go from there. But you got to look now to these last two games. If you're the Pirates, against Villanova Wednesday night at 6:30 at the Prudential Center, and then home against DePaul with an 8:30 tip. And that will really determine if this team can make it into the NCAA tournament. And that's been the talk here at the station. That's been the talk around the campus. The Seton Hall Pirates, projected ninth in the preseason poll for the Big East, are right now sitting in fourth place. And that was, a shocker for many. Not a shot. I thought going into the season that they have a really good shot of making some noise. Look, you have a veteran backcourt between Kadari Richmond, Alamir Dawes, Dylan Adewusu, and then you have a front court that's very veteran-heavy as well, with Dre Davis, who yesterday eclipsed 1,000 points in his career, along with Jaden Bediako, who is a transfer, and he's a fifth year, and he has a lot of experience under his belt, too. So when you look at the standings, UConn in conference 16-2, Marquette 13-5, they're 1-2. Creighton 13-6. They have had a phenomenal season so far. They have started to find it at the right time here. Seton Hall 11-7 in conference, and Villanova clipping at their heels at 10-8. Now, that's what this makes this game on Wednesday even more important, because you want to lock up that four seed with the win. And DePaul, that last game, was 0-18 in conference. Should be a game for Seton Hall that at senior night, the energy should be high. That should be a victory. This is the game that you circle on the calendar in that last five stretch of, okay, who do we have left here? And you're looking through the schedule, those last five. You have Butler, who was a bubble. Well, I'm going to even go back one further. You have St. John's, who's a bubble team. You've got a victory there coming back from, I think it was about 20 points. You have Butler, who you have a solid win against here at home. Then you have, okay, you have Creighton and UConn. Really two tough teams. How can we compete against them? But then you have those last two, Villanova at home, DePaul at home, March 6th and 9th. Those are the two games that you're, okay, they're musts. Now, when you look back on February 11th, when the Pirates went to Villanova, they took the loss, a 80-54 loss against the Wildcats in Philadelphia. So you have to see what they're going to do here in this final game of that series between Villanova and Seton Hall. So we all hope here at the station that they can get a victory, because that would put them in prime position to do some great things, whether that's in the tournament being the four seed, but also gives them another win that pushes them towards the NCAA tournament. Now, when you look at their overall net and you look at their overall statistics, they're all over the place. And I think a great website for this, where it kind of breaks it all down, is Bracket Matrix. I'm going to give them a little shout out here. But right now, Bracket Matrix, basically what they do is they look at all these different outlets that basically do bracketology, and they get the average overall metric of where each team lines up. So, for example, we'll use Seton Hall. So, on ESPN's bracket, they have us at an 11 seed. Some have us as a 10 seed, some have us as a 9, the Big Dance, while others don't have us in the tournament. So what they do is they take all those seeds and they average them out. So the average placement, or average seed in our bracket, is a 10.8. So right now, a lot of bracketologists have us in that spot at a 10 seed as an at-large bid. And you look at that, you're like, okay, but what can topple us down? You look at the same website at the other at-large bids that are right nipping at the heels of the Pirates, one of which is the Villanova Wildcats, who had a pretty good win over the weekend over a very hot Providence Friars team. Then another team that's nipping at your heels at the Big East level is St. John's. Again, another team that has had a solid run after Rick Pitino kind of ripped into them at a press conference after the Seton Hall game. That team has responded well and are making now a run. So you look at those two teams and who they have left. Villanova has Seton Hall and Creighton left, while St. John's has probably the two easiest teams in the conference to play. They have DePaul tomorrow night and Georgetown on Saturday at noon. So a lot of things can happen. Something crazy could happen where maybe they lose both, but I highly doubt that how this team is playing right now. They beat up on Butler last Wednesday, 82-59. They beat St. Creighton a couple Sundays ago on February 25th, where they beat them 82-66 here at home. So you got to you look at that and you're like, oh, this team is now surging here at the right time. So I don't know if St. John's overall resume has enough to really say, yeah, this team can make it to the big dance. But if they have a good run in the Big East tournament, which anything can happen in the tournament where maybe they have an upset win over a Creighton again or a Marquette. I don't know what the seeding's going to look like right now because there's a lot of things that can happen. Let's say like with a tiebreaker between Villanova and Seton Hall, the Pirates can be a 5 seed or a 4 seed right now. Hopefully they're a 4 seed and can do some damage with that bye. But you look at St. John's, and that's a team that could have a really good case possibly to make it into the big dance over the Seton Hall Pirates. But I think with the Pirates' overall resume of earlier on in the season doing some outstanding work and those first couple conference games beating the number 5 UConn Huskies at home, then beating the number 23 team in the country in Providence at the time, beating number 7 Marquette at the time, then going on a run where you guys, the Pirates didn't lose. You went at one stretch, you had one loss in a stretch, you had one loss in about 6 games where you beat UConn, Providence, Marquette, Georgetown, Butler, St. John's, with your next loss coming in a triple overtime thriller against number 18 Creighton. And you look back at that game and you're like, oh, you wish you could have had that one. That would have added to the resume. And look, there's nothing you could do. Obviously, that game afterwards, you faced a Providence team here at the Prudential Center without Kadari Richmond, and the Pirates lose by 4, and you wonder if you had a full, healthy roster. Maybe we get that win. But that's all besides us now, and the only 2 games left are against Villanova and DePaul. So if you are around Seton Hall fans, if you're not on spring break, make sure you go to the Rock, pack the Rock, because you've seen throughout this year, when the Rock is rocking, the Pirates are rolling. And you could see that every single home game here at Seton Hall. So I've talked about the NCAA tournament a little bit. Don't really have a breakdown fully of what the bracket's going to look like for the Big East tournament. But let's talk about this Villanova preview a little bit, and we're going to talk about standout performances, and we're going to call it a day here, writing a solo episode. So, looking at this Villanova team, I'll be on the call on Wednesday night with Spencer Gonzalez and Joe Morales, and we'll be there covering the whole game. So, looking at the big thing for this Villanova team is they have a lot of veteran presence like the Seton Hall Pirates do, but they also have guys that can shoot lights out from 3. Now, I'm not going to say, I shouldn't say lights out. Lights out was probably not the best word. They are very solid from 3-point land. Their best player, probably Eric Dickerson and Justin Moore, who are having phenomenal seasons per usual. But you look at this team as a whole, and they are really good shooting from outs beyond the arc. And they all have these different weapons that can, they're not going to shoot it crazy, but they have the threat of shooting it. As a team, they're shooting 34% from downtown. They also have a size element here that could be interesting against this Seton Hall team, where Jaden Bediako and Dre Davis are playing down low. They have Eric Dickerson and Justin Moore. So that's an interesting matchup to watch out for. Obviously, if you're on the Seton Hall side, you want to watch out for those three guards in Dylan Adiwusu, Alamir Dawes, and Kadari Richmond. But all it comes down to is how are you going to respond to a loss to the UConn Huskies? How can the Pirates keep rolling? How can the Pirates get back into that win column? Because I think that's the biggest thing, is just seeing some points go up. I think offensively for the Pirates, it's been a little bit of a struggle. And I think getting back to that defensive way, the defensive ways as Shaheen Holloway has instilled in them, will be important here in this game. So as we look back at that previous Villanova game, that 80-54 loss, the biggest thing for this Pirates team was keeping the three-point shooters at bay. And I think at home they'll have a better job. They'll have a better chance of doing such. It was looking at the box score. The Villanova Wildcats had a very good performance coming out of the gate. The leading scorer for the Pirates was Alamir Dawes with 14 points, with Kadari Richmond with 12 points, and everyone else on that starting lineup were in single digits, with Dre Davis with 6, Jaden Badiaka with 5, and Dylan Adiwusu with 3 points on the afternoon. Then you look on the Villanova side, Eric Dixon had a great game. He shot 8 for 13 from the field, 2 of 4 from downtown with 18 points on the day, followed by TJ Bamba with 14 points on the afternoon, and he shot 4 of 7 from the field. Then Mark Armstrong was that third catalyst, who had 12 points on the day. Then you had some bench presence coming from the Villanova Wildcats with Brendan Hawson with 17 points on the day. So you look at this team, they have some shooting all around the floor. They shot 14 for 30 from three-point land comparatively to the Seton Hall Pirates shooting 9 of 30 from the three-point line. So that's the big key to the game on Wednesday, is if they can stop those three-pointers from falling for the Villanova Wildcats. So I think the big standout performers of this year so far, obviously Dre Davis, right now in the running for the most improved player of the year. Kadari Richmond, who's had another fantastic senior year season here. And Jaden Bediako, who's had a great year down low for the Pirates, which that was the biggest question coming in to this season, was who was going to play down low. And Jaden Bediako and Elijah Hutchins Everett has done a great job of stepping in and filling that void here for the Pirates and really competing with those big guys throughout the Big East. So looking at some stats for these players that I've pointed out, Kadari Richmond averaging a little over 32 minutes a game, 16 points a game. Fantastic season again. Look at his his teammate, Dre Davis, who arguably could be the most improved player in the Big East, averaging about 31 minutes a game, shooting 49% from the field, and he's averaging 14 points per game. And then finally, who I pointed out, Jaden Bediako, averaging 25 minutes a game. Bill Rafferty said it on the show on the broadcast yesterday. I'm going to repeat what he said. He does a great job really staying out of foul trouble for a big, and you can see that he's always on the floor. But he's averaging about eight points a game, which is a huge contributing factor to this. So, and obviously, Alamir Dawes, can't forget about mentioning him, averaging 14.3 points a game. 14.3 points a game, having another phenomenal season here for the Pirates. So you look at all this on both the men's and women's sides, there's a lot to look forward to for the Seton Hall Pirates team going forward as March Madness begins here for the Pirates, whether that's for the Big East tournament this week from March 8th to the 11th for the women, or these last two final regular season games for the men's side going into the Big East tournaments next week from March 14th through the 16th at Madison Square Garden. So make sure you keep an eye on the social media for all the content that will be coming out within the week. Next week, we will go back to our normally scheduled recordings of interviews. We have some guys and girls lined up, ready to go, and we're excited to have them on and talk about their stories here at Seton Hall. But also, we'll be doing some fun stuff. We're closing in on that 50-episode mark that we are very excited for. Might do something crazy. Who knows? But we want to see some Seton Hall Pirates basketball playing throughout March. So go Pirates, and we'll see you next time.